Dear Christian friends, you ever wonder what it must have been like to be one of those in the story of Christ's passion that was unwittingly drawn in close to him? Think of the widow on Tuesday that was contemplating what she was giving in the temple, and Jesus was purposefully observing her and threw in those two mites, all that she had, and she could hear Jesus as she's leaving teaching his disciples that she was like him, giving it all she had. He was giving all he had. Or like Malchus, you know who he was? He's the guy that Peter raised his sword and tried to kill him and cut off his ear. Talk about being drawn into the story and Jesus healing his ear. Or the soldiers that came with Judas, that were just, that was their day's duty. Or Pontius Pilate, who had them bring Jesus to him that morning, and he's like, I find nothing wrong with this man. Drawn in. What is truth? Because Jesus is trying to save his soul. Or what it must have been like to be the soldiers that were getting used to cruelty, and then they come upon this man they're going to beat that takes it so differently, and the accusations are so different than that of a criminal, and they're drawn close to him. Called the King of the Jews and the Crown of Thorns. What they must have thought later, right? Or the centurion that was to guard those men and guard Jesus, and the two malefactors who nothing had seemed like had been planned, they'd be killed that day, and suddenly this is their execution day, and they're alongside of him, and one, by God's grace, realizes he's dying next to his Savior. What it was like to be drawn in close, unwittingly, to Jesus. And this guy tonight that we look at is one of those. Perhaps the one that's the most obvious that he was drawn in unwittingly to be close to Jesus, because the Romans could force anyone to carry a load at least 2 miles, 1 mile and then another. And it wasn't. It was probably 1,000 yards. Think of 3 football fields length when they grabbed Simon of Cyrene, forced him to carry Jesus' cross because Jesus was so tired, so beat up, and so tortured, and so dehydrated. There's no way he could carry that. That weighed anywhere from 100 to 200 pounds, even if it was just the cross beam and not the whole cross. We don't know because they did things differently in every situation. It's on the back. I'm going to read it to you. It's from Mark's gospel. It's also recorded in Matthew and Luke's gospel too. And they all have just a little bit more information than the other, but we'll just read Mark's. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh. It was a painkiller, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. He'll never need his earthly clothes again. We don't know a lot about Simon. This is all we get, really, in all 3 Gospels. Simon from Cyrene. How long he had been from Cyrene. It's 850 miles away. They usually traveled by ship across the Mediterranean. It's in northern Africa, the African continent, to the west end of what we'd call modern-day Libya. And some believe at the time of Christ, 10,000 Jewish, ethnic Jewish, religious Jewish people living in Cyrene because of all the deportations that happened during the intertestamental period. So why was he in Jerusalem? Well, it doesn't say. Pretty good assumption might be that he came over on a pilgrimage, and that they were at Jerusalem to sacrifice the Passover lamb, but they're a day late if they're going to do it that day. Could have been commerce, it could have been family, could have been all the above. But he's not from there. And it seems that all 3 gospel writers are telling us Simon isn't part of this whole thing, this crowd that went to Pilate and was rousted up by the religious leaders. It seems like he happens on the parade out to Golgotha, and he is conscripted by a Roman soldier to carry the cross. And he's got his two boys with him. And the way that Mark tells it, it's like they might be familiar to the readers. When you look at Paul's letter to the Romans, and Mark wrote for Romans, his gospel, Rufus is mentioned as one to give a greeting. Is it the same Rufus? Is that why Mark said he's the father of Alexander and Rufus? Because by the time Mark wrote, this many years have passed after it had all happened. We don't know. There's very interesting questions. We also don't know a whole lot about what Simon was able to ascertain about what was actually happening to Jesus and why, and what was happening for our salvation at the time. I'm going to do something I haven't done in probably all 31 and a half years of preaching. I'm going to read to you the middle portion of my sermon because in meditating on what questions I have about Simon of Cyrene, as a Christian trying to devote my heart to understand what God is teaching us here, I don't want to forget, stand over there and forget five of the things I've wondered about. I want to remember them all for you because I think they'll be beneficial for all of us. So you might close your eyes and just listen about what I wonder about, what I want you to wonder about as your pastor. I wonder what it was like to be Simon. What was it like to have two little sons there with you and be conscripted into a violent mob parading toward the Hill of the Skull and have to take care of the kids while you're carrying the cross? I wonder what he said to his boys to keep them safe and to help them deal with that which they could not control that was happening. I wonder if they held on to the edge of his tunic or lagged behind in the edge of the crowd. I wonder what it was like to pick up that cross and feel the blood of Christ on your fingers and to smell the sweat and the blood and the dirt all mixed together. I wonder what Simon saw in Jesus' eyes. Was it sadness? Was it understanding? Was it love? Was it all three in Simon's mind? I wonder what it was like for Simon to watch Jesus stagger next to him. I wonder if Simon was traumatized to know that he was carrying the weapon that was going to be used to kill a man. This man. I wonder if Simon felt bad for participating in the death of another man, even though he didn't have a choice. I wonder what it was like to see Jesus' patience, his peace, and his sobriety. I wonder what it was like to hear the angry shouts of the two malefactors and to see them struggle against their tormentors while Jesus walked quietly toward the hill of death. I wonder how much Simon wondered about why Jesus was being crucified. Did he see the sign in the soldier's hand that he was carrying with the hammer and the nail that he'd nail it above his head, the sign that said, "Jesus from Nazareth, King of the Jews"? If he saw the sign, what did Simon think of that sign? I wonder if Simon knew this was the man who had miraculously healed the sick, fed the hungry, and raised the dead, and here he was letting himself be tortured and killed. I wonder how the weeping women affected Simon. It's hard to hear a woman cry. He was carrying Jesus' cross, and they were crying wildly about it. And then I wonder what Simon thought when Jesus stopped and he faced the women and told them to weep for themselves because terrible judgment and this cruelty of the Romans would be inflicted upon them and their families very soon. I wonder what it was like for Simon to get to Golgotha and to throw the cross down and watch the soldiers try to force Jesus to drink the pain-deadening gall and then watch him refuse it profusely. I wonder if Simon tried to see Jesus' face as they stripped him and then gambled for his clothes right there in front of him. I wonder what it was like for Simon to see them shove Jesus down and nail his wrists and feet to the wood and then drop it in a hole. I wonder if for years in his dreams at night he could hear the sound of the mallet striking the spikes. Night after night, dream after dream. I wonder what it was like for Simon to hear Jesus say, "Father, forgive them. I wonder what it was like to be reunited with his two little boys and to try to answer the curious questions that all boys ask. Daddy, what did this man do that made them beat him so badly and then kill him on that cross? I mean, what if it's what they asked was he a bad man, Daddy? I wonder what Simon would have answered if they did ask that. I wonder what it was like as Simon processed it for the next few weeks. Did he hear about the resurrection of Christ from others before he made it back home and talked to his wife about everything? I wonder what happened over the years as he and the boys reminisced about the fateful weekend in Jerusalem. What did they remember the most? The shouts? The blood? The way Jesus handled himself? Or was it how terrible he looked and how venomous was everyone around him? I wonder when it was or if it ever was that Simon, Alex, and Rufus realized that the blood on the wood next to Daddy's ear was the payment for Daddy's sin and theirs too. Was it hard for them to separate their horrific 3D PTSD-causing experience from the wonderful news it meant for them? We see in Alexander and Rufus mentioned in Paul's writings, I wonder, were these the same two boys? Does that mean they came to faith? If they saw Jesus die but never saw him alive, could they go from sadness and horror to joy and faith just from hearing a witness of the apostles that he had risen? What I mean is, did the real, live, close-up encounter with Jesus as he was mutilated and dying make it hard to encounter the good news of the resurrection simply on the testimony of others? I wonder. I'm thinking, in this lifetime, we won't ever get any answers to these questions. But we will get answers, because when we get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of people that were at the crucifixion there, including Jesus. And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, when we get there, we will know just as fully as we are known right now by the Father. So we'll know answers to our questions. Maybe you're glad that you weren't there. Now that you think about Simon with me, maybe you're sad that you weren't there because you'd love to carry Jesus' cross to say thank you. Whether you're glad or sad for those reasons, though, you can be glad that Simon did carry that cross, because it was on that cross that we were saved by Jesus. That wood had to get out to that hill so that man could die on it for you. And you can be sad that it was our stupid, selfish choices that meant he had to die. Because you know the answer to the little boy's question. This is not a bad man, but it's a man made to be bad so that we might be set free. That makes us glad. We are both glad and sad as we walk with Simon to the cross with his little boys. And I'm also very glad that we know these stories well because of the gospel writers. And I'm glad that we can meditate on them and ask all those questions. And I'm glad that every time we look at them, we know what it means. It means that we are saved. And all God's people said, amen. One more little treat for you is reading that song that I mentioned in the second email I sent out today. It's a song by Ray Bolts called Watch the Lamb. Many of you know it, but if you don't, you can find it on YouTube. But I'm going to just read the lyrics. It's Ray Bolts' idea of his meditation on the same story, and it's kind of in the main about what I was just reading to you for my own meditations. But I think it's very helpful and a good way to finish the sermon. Walking on the road to Jerusalem, the time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walked beside me on the road. The reason that they came was to watch the lamb we had brought. Daddy, Daddy, what will we see there? There's so much that we don't understand. So I told them about Moses and Father Abraham. And then I said, dear children, watch the lamb. There will be so many people in Jerusalem today. We must make sure our lamb doesn't run away. And I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. And then I said, dear children, watch the lamb. When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men, and I heard them cry out, crucify him, crucify him. When I tried to leave the city, we could not get away. Forced to play in this drama, a part I did not wish to play. Why, upon this day, were men condemned to die? And why were we standing here where soon they would pass by? I looked and I said, even now they come. The first one cried for mercy. The people gave him none. The second one, he was violent. He was arrogant and loud. I could still hear his angry voice in my ear screaming at the crowd. And then someone said, there's Jesus. And I could scarce believe my eyes, a man so badly beaten that he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow, running down the cross, falling to the ground. I watched him as he struggled. I watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. I felt such loss, till a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and he screamed, you carry his cross. At first, I tried to resist him. And then he reached for his sword. So I knelt and I took the cross from the Lord and I placed it on my shoulder and started down the street. The blood that he'd been shedding was running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and his hands. Yet upon the cross, I heard him pray, Father, forgive them. Oh, never have I seen such love in any other eyes. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. He prayed, and then he died. I stood for what seemed like years. I'd lost all sense of time until I felt two tiny hands reaching out and holding tight to mine. And my children stood there crying. And I heard the oldest say, Father, please forgive us, but the lamb we brought, it ran away. Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much that we don't understand. So I took them in my arms, and then we turned and we faced the cross. And then I said, dear children, watch the lamb.